I invite you to be seated. I got chills. They are multiplying. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. So, as a lot of you know, as I'm a pastor's kid, my dad's sitting right over here, by the way, still makes me nervous. But I'm a pastor's kid, so when people ask me, you know, where am I from, it's hard to say because, you know, we kind of moved around a lot. And so I lived most of my childhood in Iowa. So I say, you know, I'm from Iowa. I grew up an Iowa Hawkeyes fan. Yes, I know they stink in football. But it's where I'm from. So then the next question usually is, well, how did you become such a big Green Bay Packers fan? Because I lived in Iowa where, you know, a lot of people were those Bears fans or Vikings fans or Chiefs fans. Not many Packer fans. So what I tell them is my mom and dad were both born and raised in Clintonville, Wisconsin. And that's where all of my relatives are from. So at a very, very early age, I learned that in order to be a head key, you had to be a Green Bay Packer fan. I could still remember both my grandpas. Now, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, okay? So in the 80s, Green Bay was terrible, okay? All the time. So I was in grade school and started high school in the late 90s. Nobody's tried to figure out how old I am, okay? But I would literally, especially when I was younger, get made fun of for being a Green Bay Packers fan. Because they were constantly being humbled by everybody they played until the year 1997, when Green Bay won the Super Bowl and they were exalted. And I didn't have to put up with it anymore. Well, so that's how I became a Packers fan. And we are going to talk about pride versus humility, not about the Green Bay Packers. And so last week in the parable that we discussed, Jesus taught about how we should be persistent in our prayer when the times are tough, when things are going horrible all around us, to not give up praying. He told us to be persistent. And so today what we're going to look at is another parable that Jesus tells right after the parable you heard last week. And so as you will see, Jesus once again turns things upside down from the way that the world teaches. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. So let's take a look at this parable. It's in Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 9. And it says this: He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. So just like last week, if you remember last week, Luke told us what the parable that Jesus is about to tell is all about. And so again today, in this parable, Luke is telling us what the parable is going to be about, that Jesus is going to tell. And so this parable is directed at those people who put their trust in themselves and how much they do, or how good they are, and not living lives that are acceptable to God, even though it's acceptable to themselves. So let me ask you a question. Who do you put your trust in? Who do you put your trust in? So let's go on here to see the parable that Jesus told here in regards to this. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this: God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. So I have a picture here of kind of how it looked. You know, this Pharisee is standing in the courtyard. So this is in the temple area, Jesus tells us. And this Pharisee is doing it where people can hear him, putting his hands up. Nothing wrong with putting your hands up to pray, by the way. But he's putting it up and yelling out loud so that everybody around can hear how amazing he is. And you know something about this guy's prayer, this Pharisee? He used the word I in that prayer 5 times. He talked about himself in this prayer, thanking God that he's not like other people. He's not like those sinners over there, especially this tax collector who's over here praying. I'm definitely better than him. And then, you know, he gives his credentials. You know, I tithe and I fast. This guy was a pretty pious individual, right? Definitely is on the right track. And you know, during that time, the people would feed the ego of these Pharisees because they were taught and thought that, you know, these are the guys that are closest to God. These are the guys that we should be like because they are so pious. You know, and I said before, once again, Jesus is going to turn everything upside down. Things really haven't changed much since then in the year 2022. Those who are the most popular or who have the most money or who have the best stuff are usually propped up in our culture and society, right? Like, this is how you should live. This is how you should be. You should be like them. And you know, a lot of times in these parables and in the events that we see Jesus involved with in the Gospels, it's very easy to criticize the Pharisees because they make it so easy, right? But let me ask you some questions. Are you feeling pretty good about yourself right now? At least better than some of these other people sitting here? You know, maybe you wouldn't say that about someone sitting down the row from you. I'm definitely, you know, better than the person down at the end of the row. Don't look who's at the end of the row. You know, it's easy for us to not say that, but what about, do you think you're better off than maybe, what if it's not somebody down the road from you, but what about a criminal or an adulterer or a gossiper or maybe even a serial killer? For sure we could say that we are better off than that person, right? Are you happy with yourself attending church on Sunday, checking the box, and then go about your Monday through Saturday life as if, you know, however we want to live, living in the ways of the world, the things of this world? Maybe you're tempted to think that, you know what, I'm doing pretty good. At least I go to church. Look at all these other heathens out there that don't. So now let's go, but before I go to that, the question here, are you the Pharisee? Because a lot of time in these parables, you know, we like to put ourselves in the parable. So I ask you, are you the Pharisee in this parable? Let's go on and see about this tax collector, verses 13 and 14. But the tax collector, standing far off, he's a ways off from this Pharisee, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus says, I tell you, this man, this tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So this tax collector, let's talk about him for a second. The tax collectors in those days, in Jesus' times, they didn't have a lot of friends. Because not only did they take taxes, you know, for the Jewish stuff, they also collected taxes for the Roman Empire. So they were viewed as bad people. And sometimes these tax collectors, you know, they weren't perfect. They were tempted to, you know, take a little bit off for themselves. They were definitely looked down upon in that society, and the Pharisees wanted nothing to do with them. In fact, they got mad at Jesus when Jesus had the audacity to have dinner with some tax collectors, those sinners. And Jesus tells us in this parable that this tax collector was so ashamed of himself and so sorry for his sin that he was beating his breast, his chest, like this. He was so ashamed of himself. You know, something interesting here in the book of Luke is this: the phrase there in the Greek that's used for beating his chest is used one other time in the gospel. And that one other time is the day that Jesus was crucified on the cross. And after he died, we are told in Luke that the people that were there that witnessed Jesus dying on the cross went home beating their chest because they realized that they were part of what nailed him to the tree. So like I keep telling you, and I like to keep impressing upon you, there's nothing that's a coincidence in the Bible. There's no coincidence that this is the only other time Luke uses that phrase. Beating his chest because he's so ashamed of himself. And so the tax collector was showing humility in his prayer. And so he was down on his knees, couldn't even raise his eyes to heaven. And this is one of the reasons, by the way, why we teach our kids and teach people to pray with your hands folded and your head down. Because it's just a posture of humility. Again, there's nothing wrong with raising your hands and eyes to heaven when you pray as well. But if you're doing it here, if somebody stood up here in church and all of a sudden did that in front of everybody, I am better than you all, that's a problem, right? That's the way we don't want to pray. And then we know how humble this tax collector was when he says the words, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you ever felt so beat down, so low, like this tax collector must have been feeling? Have you ever felt like you just are so ashamed of yourself and what you've done that there's no possible way God can forgive you, let alone anybody else? So beat down. And this is how Satan wants us to always feel. He wants us to feel beat down by the bad things that happen in our life, and they happen daily. We suffer. We go through tough times and just feel so beat down, we can't even raise our eyes to heaven. And I want to read this verse 14 one more time to you, where Jesus says this: I tell you, this man, this tax collector, this sinner, this person sitting here at Promise went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And so you know what's interesting to me? Of course, this always makes me think of the crimson thread, right? When I read these words of Jesus. And it made me think of when I was reading through this passage, preparing for this sermon. It made me think of the day, that first Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode on that donkey into Jerusalem. And everybody was cheering Jesus, waving palms, taking their robes off, laying them on the ground, exalting Jesus. Because they thought he was coming in to be a king who was going to get rid of the Roman Empire, and they were going to reign forever with Jesus as their king here on earth. See, they were thinking about the things of this world. Because just a couple days later, those same people that were cheering, you know, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, waving palm branches, are the same people who were yelling, crucify him. Because he was not coming in to hear, to be an exalted king here on earth. Jesus came to serve and to not be served, and to give his life as a ransom for us. You know, sometimes, and because we sometimes struggle with feeling, you know, we can feel pretty good about ourselves, you know, at times. We're definitely better than some of those major sinners out there. We can be tempted to think that we are good enough and that we really don't need Jesus to do what he did for us. But this passage, just like every other single passage that I could ever read in the Bible, it always comes back to Jesus and about what he has done for us. And so I want to read to you from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Paul's talking about Jesus and us. And listen to what it says here. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. You see, Jesus came. He is the Son of God. This is a big deal for our God to become one of the creatures, to become one of us. Paul goes on. And Jesus, being found in human form when he came that first Christmas, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, this was a humbling thing for our Savior, the Son of God, Jesus, to do, to become a human only to take on every single one of our sins. It's a humbling thing that he did for us. He didn't need to do it, but he did it because he loved us that much. He loves us this much. It goes on, therefore, God has highly exalted him. Jesus, who humbled himself, is now exalted. And bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, Jesus is the one who humbled himself in your place, in my place, so that each and every one of us can be exalted. And you know what? When we leave this earth, whether we leave this earth before he comes back or we get to go to him with him together when that last day comes, we are exalted. And isn't that awesome? I just can't get excited enough about it. You may not be able to tell. But we are exalted because he humbled himself. Amen. Please pray with me.